Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I wanted to talk about the current issue of voting rights and election security and seat that in the larger context of the right to vote in the United States and why it is so important that we as citizens do everything in our power to protect that right to vote. And so first I wanted to get into some real obvious background stuff. That being that the right to vote has been the cornerstone of what has made America, America. We're really, the United States is really the first country to ever truly have, in recent history, in the last several hundred years, to really have a representative democracy. Now, of course, it was a very limited representative democracy, way back in the late 1700s, and really all the way through the 1910s, as far as I'm concerned, because until women, and really, you could argue till the 1960s, until black and brown people were really guaranteed their rights to vote, it's been limited. Truly, but it is still in a way the first of its kind, a modern Eurocentric representative democracy, regardless of how limited it is, and it makes us as a nation quite special. It's what's made the U.S. special this whole time. Prior to the United States existing, there was a monarchy fundamentally. And the king's word was the final word on anything and everything, and this has been the case truly since in most Eurocentric countries, as that's what I'm going to focus on, in most Eurocentric countries that had been the case since the fall of the Roman Republic, and this was nearly 2,000 years ago, and so the situation where this right to vote, that is almost assumed that everybody had for all of time to people growing up in the United States, has not been the status quo of human history for the vast majority of it, at least as far as Eurocentric societies are concerned. Now, what to kind of add to that notion, even the right to vote in and of itself today is not the status quo for much of the world's population. Not most, I would say, but a large swath of it, certainly. Freedom House, which is a organization that publishes sort of reports on how free a society is, in 2018, they found that 50 countries are deemed not free for one reason or another. In those countries, you obviously have in North Korea, you have countries like Syria, Eritrea, Saudi Arabia, that all are not free countries. And certainly you add in Russia and the Russian Federation and the People's Republic of China into that scenario, where you don't really have the right to vote. And if you do vote in elections, oftentimes they're rigged elections, particularly in the case of the Russian Federation and the current president, Vladimir Putin, who seems to somehow win by just these gigantic margins. This is true, obviously, in the case of Belarus as well, where the established leaders are voted into power with overwhelming majorities that don't match up with the popular opinion of the people. And so this right to vote in a free and fair election is not guaranteed. It's not normal, certainly, if you take a historical approach, and it's kind of an exception in that way, and even today, it's something that isn't, as I said, guaranteed to everybody. You know, if we happen to be born in Belarus or the People's Republic of China or Saudi Arabia, we wouldn't be able to vote for our leaders. You know, not all of them, certainly. I believe in the People's Republic of China, you can vote in tiny little local elections, but, you know, certainly provincial, city, and national elections, those aren't a thing. There's one party, and it's the Chinese Communist Party, and that is your only option. if you could even call it an option, because you really don't have a choice. And so when you look at it in that context, this freedom to vote in these free and fair elections, it's really something unusual. And it's really something special that the United States has. And it's something that must be protected. Now, why must it be protected? Well, if you listen to my last episode on states' rights, you'll have heard that I mentioned that in just 2021 alone, in response to the loss of former President Trump in the 2020 presidential election, 19 states have passed 34 laws to restrict the vote and to suppress the vote across the nation. And again, these are states like Georgia, Florida, Texas, Mississippi, the states that have a track record of this sort of thing, violating the rights to vote, the right to vote of their own citizens, to install leaders who are of like mind with the current leaders in those states. And so because of these gross violations of civil liberties and the right to vote, the most fundamental right in the United States, federal oversight is needed. And federal regulation is needed. And so what does that look like? But first, I think it's important to sort of break down the situation of Congress as it stands today. For the moment, the House of Representatives has a slight Democratic majority. I'm not sure of the actual numbers, but it's pretty darn close. And in the Senate, there is a 50-50 split where the vice president, that being Vice President Kamala Harris, is the tie-breaking vote. So technically, the Democrats have a majority in the Senate, though it's a very slim one, and they can only pass legislation through a simple majority vote. And in the House, a simple majority vote is all that's needed. However, in the Senate, there's an antiquated Senate rule called the filibuster, which basically requires that 60 votes are needed to pass legislation if you want to avoid a filibuster, a stopping of putting a bill on the floor from the minority party. And so what the Democrats are running into right now is that though they have the majority in the Senate, they can't pass anything significant because the Republican Party is standing on a unified front to prevent the Democrats from passing anything. And so now you have yesterday, you had President Biden speaking out to make changes to the filibuster. You've had many representatives and senators on the Democratic side talking about changing the filibuster rules so that it doesn't apply to voting rights. And their logic is simple, because in the 19 states where they've passed the 34 laws restricting, the Republican state legislatures have passed 34 laws restricting the right to vote, all they need is a simple majority. So the logic is, well, why shouldn't the Senate only have to run on a simple majority for voting rights legislation if the states are able to? And I think that's logically sound. And to me, that argument is logically sound. There should not be a double standard. But now we get to the bills in question. And the first is going to be the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And again, if you listen to yesterday's episode, you'll remember that there was a Supreme Court case in 2013 that struck down Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act from 1965, which basically said that the way that the bill had it written out to determine the criteria for whether a subdivision or a state had to be investigated or had to get approval from the Department of Justice was unconstitutional. Because it didn't apply anymore. However, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act would work to retool Section 4 of that bill so that it fits for the modern day. And so the new criteria would be, would be that any state with 15 or more violations in the last 25 years in terms of voting would have to get approval from the Department of Justice to change their election laws. Two, any state with 10 or more violations and one violation done by the state itself would have to, again, seek approval from the Department of Justice in order to change their laws. And three, any subdivision with three or more in the last 15 years, three or more violations. That would be the new criteria that would be inserted into the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So it's not in and of itself a new bill per se, but it's really revising Section 4 of the existing bill to get to create more surveillance and oversight from the federal government to make sure that areas, subdivisions and states with a history of voter restriction don't continue to suppress the vote. And so the second bill is going to be the Freedom to Vote Act. And this is really a more comprehensive reform. This one was put forward by Amy Klobuchar, but however it was outlined and written out by Senator Joe Manchin, who was the who's been a more moderate Democrat, who's kind of been on the fence and wants bipartisan support for this sort of thing. And what's in here is it's going to expand voter registration opportunities. That's automatic same-day registration. You know, if you show up, you're not registered, you show up to the polls, you can register, and now look at that, you can vote. And in addition to that, it expands voting access by providing more opportunities to vote early and vote by mail, so that, you know, you necessarily don't have to spend all day waiting in lines at the polls, which is a big barrier for people. And speaking of, it establishes Election Day as a national holiday, so that that way people who have to work don't have to skip out on voting either. And in addition to that, it prevents gerrymandering by creating new regulations and laws for states that more regulation for how states redraw their electoral districts. For example, this would work to remedy the redrawing of the North Carolina congressional. I forget if it's the state legislature, legislature or the congressional districts that would favor and would give Republicans 71% to 78% of the seats in a state that has about 50-50 Republican-Democrat split. So it would really overrepresent Republicans. And in addition to that, it would make sure that foreign capital and money does not come into U.S. elections. Make sure that everything that's related to these U.S. elections happens within our borders. And so, I mean, these are all very, in my eyes, very common sense things to make sure that we all can vote in safe, secure, free elections. And in order for our nation to continue to be the special, wonderful place that it is, we need to have free, safe, and secure elections. Without that, we as the United States are no longer the United States. And we start to move down this road towards Russia, China, North Korea, where we are no longer free. Congress needs to go in here, change the filibuster rule, so now we can establish these voting protections to make sure that every single American who is eligible can vote so they can make their voice heard at the local, state, or national level. At this moment, we have to stand firm and stare tyranny in the eye and make sure that our freedoms and rights stand strong so that our democracy can endure.